Let's begin.
It's only 3 minutes.
That's okay. Let's begin. Gemara Avodah Zarah. Yud Aleph Amud Aleph is where we are.
It's not marked.
I know. We have trouble with the tops of pages.
It's really clever.
Okay. I know.
It's 5-1.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we're on Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Going off the Mishnah that talks about when you are and are not allowed to do business with Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Mm. Okay? So we could really start at the top, but I don't think we're going to have time. The whole top part of this page is awesome. It's the story of Unculus, Hagar, and how they attempted to come after him, and everybody they sent after him, he converted to Judaism.
Cool.
Caused them all to convert to Judaism. That's what this whole top part is about, and how he did that. It involves a mezuzah. Anyways, three lines, the third wide line, there's two dots at the end of the line. It says, Yom HaLeida V'Yom HaMita.
Mm.
Yes? So the Mishnah had said, Yom HaLeida V'Yom HaMita.
Awesome.
The Mishnah had said that you are not allowed to do business with non-Jews, with Ovdei Avodah Zarah, to be particular, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, on the day of the birthday or the day of death of a non-Jewish king. Okay? Why? Because it's considered a holiday for them, and therefore you're helping them celebrate it. And the Gemara says, the Mishnah had said a little bit more than that. It had made a distinction between whether or not they burned the king's stuff or not. That's not the first Mishnah. Which Mishnah is it? I'm not sure. I'm not sure where the actual Mishnah is. I can't find it right now. I would read you the words, but I can't right now. But basically, the Mishnah had made a distinction between whether or not they burned the king's stuff on the day of his death. And in that distinction, Rav Meir made no distinction. Rav Meir says it doesn't matter. Here's the Mishnah. It's on Chet. And it says, here. It says, Yom Aleda v'Yom Amitza, Divrei Rabbi Meir, v'Chachamim Amrim Kol Mitza Sheyesh Basreifa, Yesh Ba'Avodas Chachamim, V'Shein Basreifa, Ein Ba'Avodas Chachamim. So Rabbi Meir says it doesn't matter whether they burn or they don't burn. You can't do business with them on the day of their death, on the day of his death. And the Chachamim say it depends. If they burn his stuff, then you cannot do business with them. If they don't burn his stuff, then you can do business with them. So the Gemara says, Michlal de Rabbeir Savar, Lo Shna Misa Sheyesh Basreifa, Lo Shna Misa Shein Basreifa, Palchi ba la'avodas kachavim, al masreifa la'vchukahi. Okay, so the Gemara makes one conclusion, and it says clearly, according to Rabbi Meir, it doesn't matter whether or not they actually burn his stuff. Either way, they're going to be doing it as a form of. Either way, they're going to be worshiping that king in some way, and so it is a day of avodas kachavim. But the burning part is irrelevant. And the next conclusion that the Gemara makes is that according to Rabbi Meir, it would seem the burning itself is not objectionable from a Avodah Zarah perspective, or at least not necessarily objectionable from a Avodah Zarah perspective. It could be that the burning has some other secular purpose, which we may get into later. We will definitely get into later. But according to Rabbi Meir, the burning itself has nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. Okay? Because it doesn't matter whether they burn or they don't burn, you're not allowed to do business with it.
If they do business with them, we talk about us sitting today.
Both. Doing business with them, yeah.
Which way?
Both. Both. The Mishnah at the beginning talks about it. We're not supposed to do commerce with them. We're not supposed to borrow and lend. We're not supposed to pay back, things like that. Oh, there are a lot of machlokes over here.
At least he answered
the So according to Rabbi Meir, here, Alon, you sit next to Rabbi because we don't have any extra sheets. There is one more. So, according to Rabbi Meir, there's no distinction between whether or not there's burning or not burning, which means the burning is not itself what we're bothered by from an Avodah Zarah perspective. According to the Rabbanan, however, the Gemara says, Michal de Rabbanan Sabri Sreifa Chukahi. Chuka here means it's Avodah Zarah. That's what it means. It's their chok of Avodah Zarah. It's their way of doing Avodah Zarah. And that's why the Rabbanan say, if they burn the king's stuff on the day of his death, then that's Avodah Zarah. And you're not allowed to get involved. If they don't, then they're not doing Avodah Zarah.
Sure.
So it's not an issue to do business with them.
Why is doing business with them on the day when this happens to the king represent Avodah Zarah?
You're getting involved in their Avodah Zarah.
You're sending him a shirt. Why is that anything to do with what
he's going to use the money for candles? He's going to. He's going to be using it for his Avodah Zarah. Basically, something along those lines. The whole beginning of the Masech is all about that. The Mishnah is at the beginning.
He might be happy. He's going to have to do the business.
He's going
to
be happy, yeah. That's why you can't lend him money. Maybe you can't even pay him back money that you owe him. Mm-hmm. Different, all kinds of things. Just in general, you're not supposed to do business. So again, according to Rabbi Meir, the burning itself is not an issue. It's just the death. We know that they're going to be doing Avodah Zarah. According to the Chachamim, if they don't burn, there's no Avodah Zarah. If they do burn, there is Avodah Zarah, which means that the burning itself, the burning of the king's stuff after he's died, it's just some kind of ceremony, itself is a form of Avodah Zarah. They're worshipping the king somehow through that burning. That's the conclusion that the Gemara comes to about how the Rabbanan see this whole event. But the Gemara has a problem with that. It says, wait a second. V'hatanya, but we have a Breita or a Mishnah?
Breita.
How do you know?
Just remember the Tanya to learn in a Breita.
How do you know?
Nun Bets, not the Binnin.
There's only one Nun. There's only one Nun. When there's two Nuns, it's a Mishnah. When there's one Nun, it's a Breita. V'hatanya, Sorfin al
HaMalachim. Tanya is a Mishnah?
Tanya is always a Breisa. Tanya is always a Breisa. Tinyana is always a Mishnah. Tnan is always a Mishnah. Hatnan obviously is a Mishnah. You're going to have to share. So the Gemara says, V'hatanya, we have a Breisa that says, Sorfana malachim v'lo midarke hamori.
Yeah, you can sit next to me, I haven't.
So the Gemara says, but there's a Breisa that explicitly says that we burn Jewish kings' stuff when they die. When a Jewish king dies, we burn his stuff afterwards. Velo mi darkei hamori, and it is not considered darkei hamori. If you look at Rashi, which is worth it for a second, lo mi darkei hamori, Rashi says, eina mi darkei hamori lachush lelo taaseh kema'asehem. That is one pasuk, right?
Can I ask
lo taaseh kema'asehem?
One question. When you say burning the stuff, what do you actually mean? Burning what?
Good. The Gemara is going to talk about the objects that we burn. For now, let's just assume we're burning his personal effects. We don't know yet which
thing as a Gentile king.
Yeah, it sounds like we're doing the exact same thing that is being described over there. Now, surely, right, as I've learned from all of you, surely if it's a problem for non-Jews to burn their king's stuff, because it's a form of Avodah Zarah, it should be a problem for us to burn our king's stuff. It should also be Avodah Zarah. If the act itself.
Maybe they burnt the stuff with the king. It was a cremation, which is...
You know, the Gemara could have made a distinction like that. It won't, because it sounds like it's talking about the exact same phenomenon. Like, we're talking about the same pe'ula. So the Gemara is left with the question, according to the Rabbanan, what's going on? And now the Gemara further asks the question in a much more pointed way, because you could have just stopped there and said, but it's darkei hamori. But it's not darkei hamori, the Braisa says. But then it says, v'chukahi anan hechi sarfina. And it says, and if it's avodah zarah, how can we do it? V'achtiv ubuchukoteim lo teleichu. If it really is avodah zarah for them, then we shouldn't be allowed to do it ourselves, even if when we do it, we're not intending to do avodah zarah. Now, this is a pretty amazing thing.
You should be able to copy them.
Right. Because it's avodah zarah, so we're not allowed to do it. Even if we're not doing it as a form of avodah zarah. So your point is, you know, as long as we're doing it in the same way that they're doing it, it should be a problem no matter what. Ella, rather, we have to reinterpret the whole thing. Ella chashivusahi. Rather, it must be that the whole thing with the sreifa, that's not the problem itself. It's just an indication of something. What is an indication of? Rabbi Meir Savar lo shna misa sheyesh basreifa v'lo shna misa sheyin basreifa palchi v'alavodis kachavim. V'rabbanan Savri misa sheyesh basreifa chashival hu u'palchi ba v'sheyin basreifa lo chashiva v'lo palchi ba. So the Gemara reinterprets the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi and the Chachamim and says everybody agrees that the whole issue over here is really just the serving, the worshipping of the king, and the only thing that the that the burning of his stuff is relevant for is whether or not you think it's really an indication that this is a king that the people will actually worship on the day of his death. Namely, according to Rabbi Meir, he thinks that the burning is irrelevant because he thinks that every non-Jewish king, doesn't matter how good he was, what his approval rating was, doesn't matter, when he dies, the minhag is, they do avodah zarah on the day of his death. Doesn't matter whether they burn his stuff because they didn't like him. Sorry, if they because they liked him, or they don't burn his stuff because they didn't like him. Doesn't matter. They're going to do a mezuzah.
It's not relevant that we do this as well.
What?
It's not relevant that we do this as well.
Oh, so that's a good. Well, right, of course not, because the burning, according to Rabbi Meir, actually the burning according to both of them is irrelevant. According to Rabbi Meir, it's irrelevant because it's not a siman. It's not a siman either way. They're going to worship the king. According to the Chachamim, it's relevant, but only as a siman. According to the Chachamim, if you see them burning their king's stuff, it means that they liked him. And because they liked him, they will definitely do Avodah Zarah on that day. If they don't burn his stuff, it means that they didn't like him, and then they're not going to worship him.
And then you could do business with him.
And then you could do business with him on that day. We started off thinking that it was the burning itself that the Chachamim were offended by. And now we found out it's not the burning itself. In fact, the burning is only a siman about whether or not they really liked the king and thought he was worth worshipping when he died.
Where's the burning minhag from Israel from? Where's the chacham that we did burning of the...
Well, the Brisa said that we do.
Yeah.
You're asking, where did the Brisa get it from?
Yeah.
Okay, take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Gufa. It says, you know what Alon just brought up? Gufa means what we just discussed, this whole Gemara that we just discussed. Let's drill down a little bit. Sofran al malachim bein moshim darke amore. That was the Braita. Shenemar, pasuk from Navi, from Yirmiyahu. B'shalom tamut u'b'misrafot avotecha hamalachim. There you go. They used to burn the stuff of the king. Tzidkiah, it's talking about the king Tzidkiah. He's going to die. And like they burned his father, the king, and his father and the previous king's stuff, they're going to burn for they're going to burn his stuff as well.
They burn his stuff. They said they burn him. Look at the pasuk. Where? Got it here. On the right side.
No, they will make a burning for you. That's what it means. Misrafot avotecha. What does that mean? Lach, not otach.
For you.
Lach means for you, yeah.
It's talking about how, just like we burned your ancestors, the king's stuff, they were going to burn your stuff as well. And just like we burned for the malachim, we also burned for the nesiim. The nesiim meaning like Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So in other words, this minhag continued.
We burned their stuff, not their
stuff, right. No, of course not.
Their things.
Yeah. Now to Rashi's question. Umahem sorfin al hamalachim. What did they burn? Mitatan, uklei tashmishan. They burned their beds, and they burned their pots and pans. Right. I don't know. Maybe any stuff that they use. The clothing, stuff like that.
Like very, very personal effects.
Maybe there's things like gatuma, because they were... And that's why they were burned.
Why?
Yeah.
No, you're going to see it's not that. You're going to see we'll go on to more stuff.
So they're very personal effects as opposed to something...
Well, let's see. Uklei tashmishan. We'll go into why... we'll see if you can figure out why they burned this stuff. Umaseh, here's a story. Shemeid Rabbi Gamliel Hazakin, b'saraf alav unkulus hager. So they lived in the same generation, clearly. Rabbi Gamliel died, and unkulus hager burned his stuff. Shivim mana tsuri. Sounds like he burnt 70... pieces of currency. No, tsuri. This is his money.
It was worth
this is money? Tyrian money. Right, these are coins. The Gemara says, wait a second, but why are they burning his money? That first of all, it seems like a waste. Second of all, that's not klei tashmishan. Answer, ema b'shivimane tsuri. No, they burned 70 Tyrian coins worth of his stuff.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, wait, is that it? Just beds and clothing? Umidi achrin alo, nothing else? Vahatanya, here's another braisa. Okrin al hamalachim ve'ein bo mishum darkei amori. What's okrin mean? What does Rashi say? Behema agidin levad sha'al persotea oker v'choteich. Basically, they'd hamstring these animals. It wasn't their hamstring, but it was the tendons in the legs of these animals. Whose animals?
The kings.
Obviously the king's animals. Why are they hamstringing the king's animals? And they're not burning them.
What do you mean to hamstring something? Hamstring
is a... Meaning they can't walk anymore.
So no one else
make them in the camera. Oh, very good. Amara Papa, Sutra Chalavlav, Ubehema Torah. So hold on. So let's just make it clear. Why are they burning the king's stuff? Why are they ruining the king's stuff? So no one else can use it. That's the idea.
So it's got nothing to do with the Zohar.
Nothing to do with it. The point was that this stuff was used by the king. Nobody else can use it. You know, is somebody else going to marry the king's wife? No, of course not. What?
Clearly the only Ofer king they like.
Right, so by us, it sounds like it's everybody. Amar Papa, Sushra Chavalav, Ubehema Tehora Lo. Gemara says, what? Only this is? What about a Behema Tehora? What kind of Behema Tehora is he going to have? I don't know. The king's cow. What about a king's cow? Vahatanya, Iker Sheyesh Batrefa Asur, Vashein Batrefa Mutar. The Gemara says that you do have a situation when you would do Ikur, where you would ruin the animal, even if it was a kosher animal. Rashi says, Shebehema shenitrefet bo asur la'asoto, va'af al pi shein sofo lehanot mimena asur ligrom lebehema trefut biyadayim. This is an amazing Rashi. Hopefully we'll have time to get into it. Rashi basically says over here, you are not allowed to purposely trefe up an animal. If it was kosher. So Rashi just says, shein sofo lehanot mimena asur ligrom lebehema trefut biyadayim. Rashi doesn't give say batash, he doesn't say anything. He just says, Asur litrof behema. Rashi certainly makes it sound like it's the same principle that you're not allowed to treif up a kudshim animal. We know that you're not allowed to treif up a kudshim animal.
Here they're saying the opposite though.
What?
She'im ba treifa mutar. What's mutar? Then you can be okay.
If it what?
If it's not a treifa, then you could be okay.
Ikur sheyesh ba treif. No, it means that if you do ikur, that will. Sheyesh ba treif asur, that will cause it to become treif, then it's asur to do it. So you're not allowed to, cut one of its simanim or pierce its heart, because it will cause it to become treif. V'she'ein ba treifa mutar.
That's ikur that would gorem treifa.
Right, that's asur, but ikur that will not cause treifa. Cut off its toe, right? So that's going to be mutar. And now, Ve'ezu Yikor She'in Batrefa, what's Yikor She'in Batrefa? Hamanasher Parasotea Min HaRakuba Ulamata. So, if you cut off, part of the leg. So the Gemara wonders, but you said that you're not supposed to do it to regular kosher animals. So, Rav Papa Be'egla HaMoshechet Bakaron. You're right, this is not a regular kosher animal, this is a kosher animal that he used to do work for him. So this is a...
King would sit on it.
It says an Egla HaMoshechet the Karon, it's the wagon though. It's pulling the agala. He's not sitting on it. Bagala hamoshechet b'karon. It's being pulled by this animal. So it is a form of klei tashmisha.
Why would you think you could make an animal play?
Why can't you? I mean, if I just feel like it. I don't know. I don't want anybody to be able to eat it.
That's pretty harming the animal, hitting the animal.
Good. So, I can think of reasons as well. The funny thing is Rashi didn't give an actual reason. He just said it's usher to treif up animals.
Right.
Why?
This whole thing disabling animals after somebody dies, it seems a little peculiar.
Yeah, I think it's very, not only peculiar, it's like...
What about burning his bed?
It sounds usher.
What about burning his bed?
That might be tumma.
It's not.
No, but burning its bed like you're...
You burn his pencils, okay?
What I think,
this is clearly something.
He can milk from his cow.
You're going to ride on the king's horse?
This is clearly something.
His son will, the crown prince.
Really?
The children, why not?
Really?
Why not?
I don't know.
Stop people using it without making it unusable.
But why also maiming the animals as well?
This is a more...
I mean, isn't there an issue?
Sure way of doing it.
One is not allowed to harm animals. I mean,
we caught you on the wrong day.
Any day, I'm like that.
let's hold off on that for a little bit. Let's do it now. Might as well do it now. So take a look at Tosos. Take a look at Tosos on the bottom. We're going to continue in the Gemara, but for now we'll take a look at Tosos on the bottom. Ikar sheyesh batreifa. Yeah. Sorry, you know what? Let's look at the one before that as well. Okrin al hamalachim.
You're Tosos or
Russian? Tosos. Okrin al hamalachim. Vim tomar v'amaylo parich v'hei katzar bali chayim. Mar should say, the whole thing doesn't make sense. Even the non-kosher animals. Yeah. It's tzar bali chayim. What are you doing? So he says, and by the way, don't bring a bal tashkis. Baal Tashkis is not an issue. Why do you think, before we read it, why is it not a problem with Baal Tashkis?
You can still use it. You can use it for something else.
Okay. That's why?
I read it.
Are we talking about the horse or the...
Let's talk about the horse.
Feed it to the dogs.
No.
Okay, that's not what Tosa says. So Tosa says, Dalt hashchas leika. The kevin the chvodo shel melech osim kein ein kan hashchasa. Because there is a purpose to this. Dalt hashchas is relevant when there's no purpose to the destruction. But when there's a purpose to the destruction, even if it's just for the sake of the destruction itself, but the destruction itself has a purpose, then it's not Baal Tashchis anymore. That's not purposeless. That's why, you know, we don't worry about Baal Tashchis when you rip your shirt for Avelos, right? Nobody ever picked up and said, you know, it's Baal Tashchis. No, it's for a purpose. Kavod HaMelech is very important. So what about Tzar Balei Chaim? So what about Tzar Balei Chaim? V'yishlamer d'shani kavod HaMelech shehu kavod l'kol Yisrael v'ati kavod rabim v'dachi Tzar Balei Chaim. Tzar Balei Chaim is important, but it's not as important as kavod HaMelech, which is kavod HaRabim. Right? It's the Melech we're talking about. He's the king. No, we're talking about a time period when there weren't problems with authority figures. I don't know if that's really true, but certainly less so than today. You respected the king. The king was important. He was a figurehead of the nation. When he died, it was a tragedy. It was a national tragedy. It's like when Kennedy died in America, okay? People were sad. You remember? No, stop. People were sad. They were really sad. It was a very, very sad day. People were all in mourning.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the way that they treated it.
I remember because that was important.
That's how they felt about it. And so it would have made sense for people to say, you know what? I'm gonna mark this in some way, and if that meant to the Tzar Balei Chaim, then so be it. It's the same answer, by the way, as the Hashchasa. It says it's for a purpose. When Tzar Balei Chaim is for a purpose, then it's not Tzar Balei Chaim. There's a famous truth by the Note of Yehuda about hunting, whether hunting is mutter or not. And he goes through a bunch of arguments about whether hunting should be mutter. So it's one of Rabbi Rosner's favorite topics, and he knocks them off one by one. He ends up basically just saying it's not nice. Shouldn't hunt. Actually, no, he ends up saying, no, that's basically his answer. His answer basically ends up being, it's achzariot. It's achzariot, you're like Nimrod, and it's not a good model. But is it Tzar Balei Chaim? No, it's not Tzar Balei Chaim, because you're killing the animal. And there's no Tzar Balei Chaim when you kill an animal, because you killed him. If you put him in a bear trap and leave him there, then that's Tzar Balei Chaim. But if you shoot him in the head, or you just immediately kill him, that's not Tzar Balei Chaim, it's just not. And second of all, it's for a purpose. I think he ends up saying that game is not a good purpose, or I don't remember actually.
What kind of purpose is it though?
So if you're going to eat it, then there's definitely
a purpose. Jews can't eat it. It's true.
Right. So you're talking about killing it, but if you're killing it, then it's not Tzar Balei Chaim. That's the one of the things that he points out. He wonders whether it's too dangerous. He throws that out because if it's for food, then it's not an issue, or if it's for money, it's not an issue. Anyways, takes us far afield. But take a look at the bottom Tosfos though, where he directly takes on Rashi. Right now, he just dealt with why did the Gemara not mention Tzar Balei Chaim. But Tosfos on the bottom says Ikar sheyesh batreifa perush hakuntrus. That's what pehe means. Perush hakuntrus is Rashi. Perush hakuntrus to asur ligrom treifas labehema tahora biyadayim. That's what Rashi says. You are not allowed to cause treifa. By the way, you know it's pretty mefurish in Rashi that he thinks that the problem here is the gorim treifa because he puts in biyadayim, right? What if you were to do it in, you know, indirectly? Then it would be okay? Sounds like, according to Rashi, yes, it would be okay. Which means that he's not bothered by Tzar Balei Chaim or by Baal Tashchis, because he says it's okay as long as you don't do it by Yadayim. So what's the deal? So Tosfos says, V'tema, it's a wonder. V'chi kachim hem. Is it kachim shehi aser ligrom hem treifus? Kachim, I understand. You're not allowed to cause it to become tareif. It belongs to the Beit HaMikdash, and it's kadosh. But here, it's just chulin. Mm-hmm. If it would be about Baal Tashchis, then it would be bothered also for a horse and not only for a cow. So Tosfos ends up saying that actually when it says mutar and asur, it's really talking about whether or not it's allowed to eat the animal that belonged to the king or not. That's what Tosfos reinterprets the whole Gemara. He says, no, when it says asur and mutar here, it means it's asur to eat the animal because it belonged to the king. We do treif up the animals, and not because of and it's not darkei amori. Ikar sheyesh ba treifa asur ba achila. It adds on that word. If you do ikur in a way that it causes treifa, it's asur ba'achila. Now, you'll say to me, that's obvious. And you're right. Asur ba'achila, umutar ba'hana'a. Ikur she'ein ba'treifa, mutar ba'achila. If you do ikur in a way that it's not treif, then it's mutar ba'achila.
You're not serving the purpose.
Okay.
Wait.
I'm not following that.
Why would you do the treifa?
Yeah.
No, so you can't, I guess, so that you guess it's allowed to eat it, but you're not allowed to use it, I guess. What?
It is the horse for two.
This would have been a cow.
No, the horse is not the issue over here.
Why not?
He's not bothered.
The only reason
there's no. We're only worried with Rashi. Rashi's talking about a kosher animal that you treif up on purpose. Horse is not an issue.
But we said that the reason of horse is not to use it. Right?
Right.
So why can't we accept that for the cow as well, to not use it?
Because you're trafing up... We can. That's fine. That is, according to Tosis, that's perfectly fine. You trafe up the animal. There's nothing wrong with trafing up an animal. He thinks there's no problem.
Just for eating, it doesn't apply.
He's saying if you happen to really trafe it up, then you can't eat it. If you don't, then you can't eat it.
What are the purpose of the cow? You're not going to ride it.
I think you do have a. You could have a purpose for it. There is a purpose for it. That's exactly what it's. That's the Gemara's conclusion. The Gemara's conclusion is that the reason why you're chafing it up is so that you can't use it anymore. The reason why you're damaging it is so that you that.
What is it saying in Gemara? The Gemara is saying that you have ikur to it.
You should do ikur to it.
Should do ikur to it.
What's ikur? Damaging.
Okay.
Now, there are different ways of damaging.
Okay, but it's not going to make it necessarily a treifa. It's not a treifa mutar, which according
mutar to... Mutar is like chol. Eat it. Yes. So apparently, even the king's animal, you're allowed to eat. You're not allowed to use it. You're not allowed to use it for work. So if this animal used to drag the wagon of the king, you can't use the drag your wagon.
It's not a treifa.
No.
So
you're allowed to eat it. You're allowed to eat the animal that dragged the king's wagon.
Depends.
Of course, it depends, but we're assuming that it's not a treifa.
It's
not a if it's not a treifa.
Regardless, we'll talk about an odd.
Yeah. Yes.
Strange.
That you should be allowed to get it.
Yeah.
Here, look at that. It's strich. That's exactly Tosis's point. The last two lines. It's strich alei shelo lesor b'hanah mibnei kvod hamelech. Oh, I'm sorry. So it's strich alei shelo lesor b'hanah mibnei kvod hamelech. The whole point is that it's not asur b'hanah because of kvod hamelech. Tosafot says, yes, it's a chiddush. That's what the Tosafot tells us, and that's really the pshat in the Gemara, that it's not asur b'achila, and it's not asur b'hana'ah.
So
you're just not allowed to use it. You're not allowed to use it in its lifetime for the purpose, I guess, that the king used it. Same purpose. You can't use it in the same way the king used it.
Okay. So you do ikur, but in a way that you can't use it, but you can't eat it because you're not eating it. You may do it in a way that you can't eat it. You could, I guess.
Yeah.
We could take the king's horse and send it to the dog food factory, but we can't ride it like the king rode it.
100%.
It doesn't make sense.
Well, I think it does.
You can't use it like the king uses it.
Why?
Because it's covered.
Why doesn't it make sense?
The horse doesn't have value.
I don't want to see some other guy riding the horse like the king.
The ox that pulled his wagon doesn't have, he used it to pull the wagon. So now
what you don't want is a situation where somebody's walking the street and all of a sudden they say, hey, that's the king's horse, and look at this guy riding on it. That's what you don't want.
I don't understand why he wouldn't be given to the king's family or the king's children. Why
also,
would...
No, but like there's a new king, the king's son. Or
that's because you're not a royal. You don't come from a royal place. Apparently, that's not okay. I hear what you're saying, and apparently,
I mean, there aren't there
okay.
dinim of Yerusha and all that.
He gets his own horse.
Yeah, he gets his own horse.
But that's for the castles and the peasants and the potatoes for the horse. Whatever. You're not allowed to use the king's son. Is not allowed to use his personal things. I have to burn his punch in pies, so you can eat it but not use it.
Maybe that's how Prince Philip drove his Land Rover into the young lady, but he saved them burning it.
Okay. All right, let's continue in the Gemara. Gemara says, Yom Tichlachat Zkano. What about the day where the king... Sorry, the day where a person gets his shaves his beard. All right, Yom Tichlach Hazakano.
Top of the second.
Yom Tichlach Hazakano. Apparently, when you got a haircut, that was a big day for you. Mm-hmm. It was a big day. It was a day of worship.
How the king got his haircut every day?
This is not the king. This is a regular person.
Yeah, I
get. I mean,
we
want to
get a question.
Ibailu is what kind of question?
This is where the bularit comes from.
Yeah, bularit. Where is it? What is Ibailu? What kind of question is Ibailu?
Where do you learn this from?
No, it's mina.
Asking a question on another.
Ibailu is an information getting question. It's not non-threatening information question. Ibai means want. I want or I need. So Ibailu, they wanted, they asked of him. Ibailu, Hechik Tani Yom Tichlach Etzakano, Vahanachat Blorito. So it says, what is the Mishnah telling you? Does it mean, is it talking about. What?
Blorit. So we learned that the Israelis do this today, Blorit. There's a Blorit. They said, like, when we had hair, like this. It's like a dress. Blorit. Yeah.
So the Gemara asks a funny question. Says, does it mean the day where he cuts his hair, he cuts his beard, but leaves the blorit, which is like the, you know, a little bit of hair on his head? Oh, Dilma Yom Tichlach Etzakano Behavarat Blorito. Or does it mean like a full shaving? Right? Strange question. Tashma, Tatanya Shavaya Yom Tichlach Etzakano Behanacha Blorito, Yom Tichlach Etzakano Behavarat Blorito. Both fine. I'm reviewing the Marshmul. Od Acheret Yeshlam, Berom, Od Acheret Yeshlam. There is another. Holiday ceremony that they did in Rome. Okay? Acha the Shivim Shana. They did it once every 70 years. Mevi'in Adam Shalem u'markivin oto al Adam Chiger. They would take a person who is, you know, completely healthy, and they would put him on top of a person who was lame, who had a handicap of some kind.
Can I get
these? U'malbishin oto big de Adam harishon. And they would dress him up in the clothes of Adam HaRishon. This doesn't mean he was naked. It means that they had some clothes that, I don't know, that somehow, somehow represented the clothing, nice clothing of Adam HaRishon. And they put on top of his head, what did they put on him? The scalp, or the face, the flayed face of Rabbi Yishmael, who was beautiful and had his face flayed because of it. And they put around his neck a stone, matkal zuza de pisa, which weighed 200 zuz. Sure. Yeah. They put out this stone, umachapin et hashvakim beinach, and they would cover the streets with it says carbuncles in the English. I don't really know what that means.
It's precious stone.
Okay, good. Umachriz in the front of him, they would declare in front of him. He would go for a parade. It was a parade. The fun of Sach Kiri, Sach Kiri Plaster Achua de Marana Zayfana. They would say the calculation of the ruler, okay? Sach, the calculation, Kiri Plaster, it's wrong, that it's wrong. Achva de Marana Zayfana, de Chame Chame, Udelo Chame Lo Chame. They would say the brother of our Lord, Achua de Marana Zeyafana, the brother of our Lord is a cheat, right? A reference to Esav and Yaakov. Mm-hmm. The Chame Chame, Udolo Chame Lo Chame. What, if you see this ceremony today, you'll see it. If you don't, then you're not going to see it ever again. Because once every 70 years, if you were, you know, 3 years old when it happened, you're probably not going to be alive the next time it happens. And so if you see it, you see it. If you don't see it, you don't see it.
Oh, well.
So the Gemara comments and says, "Ahani, my ahani l'ramaa b'ramaute u'lezayafna b'zayfnute." Sorry, that's what they would actually declare. They would say, "What did he get out of his lying?" Right? They're talking really about Yaakov. They're saying, "You know, look at what the state that Yaakov is in now. He didn't really gain anything from it." U'besayim in ba'ahachi v'ayledin kadikom din. And they say, you know, woe to this when that one arises. A reference to Rachel's promise, to Rachel's the prophecy, la'omil omiyamatz, that this one will, when this one goes up, that one goes down, that kind of thing. Amar Avashi, he said, hichshilan pihem l'rashayim. He said, you know, they messed up. They put their feet in their mouth. I amru zayafna achva demarana. If they had said it that way, you know, what did they actually say? They actually said, Marna Zayafna, they said, Achva de Marna Zayafna. The brother of the Lord is a liar, right? But if they would have said, Zayafna Achva de Marana, if they would have said, a liar is the brother of the Lord, meaning that the brother is a liar, clearly the Lord here is Esav, because it's their Lord, and Achva is Yaakov, right? It would have been clear that they would have been saying that Yaakov is a liar. The problem is, Kitkamri Hashta Damri, the Marna Zayafna Marna, sorry, the Marna Zayafna, Marna Gufei Zayafnahu. The way they said it ends up being that Esav is the liar, or it could be interpreted that way. Achva de mar nazaf zayafna. It could be that it's saying the brother of the Lord who's a liar. So Rashi's, you know, he basically gemarred them up.
Highly intelligent, these Romans. I mean, they knew their chumash.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now this holiday existed. So the question that the Gemara wants to know is, why did the Mishnah mention it? V'tana didan ma'itam elok kachashiv la. Why did our Mishnah not mention this holiday? L'hai di'ita b'kol shanta v'shata kachashiv. D'leita b'kol shanta v'shata lo kachashiv. Our Mishnah only mentioned the ones that came up every year. This one came up only every 7 years. Hani d'ramayu d'parsai mayim b'tradi. Okay, we'll stop there actually. Okay, so we'll stop there.
What's the significance of 70 years?
Why did they only do it once every 70 years?
I'm thinking of the going have with 70 years.
I mean, we know we have stuff.
The Bais Rishon and the Bais Sheni was 70 years.
So some of the commentaries say that it's because, exactly, because between the first Bais and the second Bais was 70 years. So basically they thought, okay, the same thing is going to happen now. After the second Bais was destroyed, so they thought, okay, every 70 years we should have a thing, you know, to celebrate that, okay, it really wasn't built. It really wasn't built. It really wasn't built.
I mean, I just, personally, I just kind of thought that they would do something based on their own, you know, their own mythology, you know what I'm saying, their own religion, and how they're kind of like, you know, kind of like taking a bit from...
They're sticking it to us.
Yeah.
They like to do that.
Okay. You can see that with the archetypes. Okay.
Yeah, like that. Okay, now we're going to do Uvachu Kosayim L'Teilecho. So, okay, pass these around, please. Can I have the Schweppes, please? What flavor is it?
It's lemon, lime, no sugar.
Okay, that. Thank you. No, you're coming. All right. Truth is, actually, let's look at our Tosos first. Sorry. I apologize. Let's look at our Tosos first. Ichukahi. It's on the first Amud. Right, let's just remind ourselves, the Gemara had just said, we saw that the Jews also used to burn the effects of the king when he died, and the Gemara says, it obviously is not Avodah Zarah, because if it was Avodah Zarah, then we wouldn't be allowed to do it. Before we even go into Tosis, by the way, any questions on that?
On what?
The Gemara said, if it was Avodah Zarah, then we definitely wouldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in other words, the Romans got it from us.
Well, let's drill down into what you mean by that. I assume what you mean by that is we did it first.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's then something that they, since they occupied Israel, they just adopted a lot of other things.
Cultural appropriation, right?
Yes.
They appropriated our culture. Is there anything that bothers you about that, if that's the case?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of making a mockery out of it.
What?
If they start doing tzitzit, we have to stop?
It would bother me, right?
If they're making a mockery out of
that
it.
That seems strange. But even more than that, why should that stop us from being allowed to? Now, do we know for sure that we were doing it?
It's source.
It's a Pasuk in Navi.
It says in Navi.
But also then it means that source wasn't Avodah Zarah.
Right. And now because they appropriated and use it for Avodah Zarah, so now we can't do it anymore?
The word they chose was Emori.
Well, that's good. So, no, the Braisa says it's not Darke Emori. Which Tarashi quotes a different pasuk that just says that we're not allowed to do things that are darkei amori, which may not be avodah zarah, as we're going to see. The Gemara says, additionally, it must not be avodah zarah, because if it was avodah zarah, we wouldn't be allowed to do it. We're concerned with the avodah zarah aspect. Let's look at Tosfos. Ichu ki yechi sarfinan. Tema. Maika parech dilma la'olam chukihi. Maybe it is avodah zarah. V'kevin d'ksiva ba'oraisa glo gamrina minayu. Maybe it is avodah zarah. And because it's written in our Torah, here read our Navi, it's not in Torah, but it's in our Navi, maybe that's why we don't care, that's why we're allowed to do it. But we still have to be concerned when they do it, then when they do it, it's Avodah Zarah, when we do it, it's not. But we should still be allowed to do it, even if they do it, right? As you were saying. So basically, an almost identical Gemara shows up in Sanhedrin about the same topic. The Gemara talks about how do we know how we're supposed to enact the Arba Mitzvos Beis Din, right? How do we do them?
So specifically,
how do we do them? How do we do them? How do we do Saif?
Oh, I see.
How do we do Saif?
The Arba Mitzvos Beis Din. Okay,
yeah. So how do we do them? So the Gemara says, Kederek Shah Malchus Oseh. Look at the non-Jews. However they do it, that's what we should do. And Rabbi Yehuda savar bekupitz. V'tanya amar lam Rabbi Yehuda l'chachamim v'odiyane shemisa nivelas hizu aval ma'aseh shari amar Torah b'chukoseim lo teilechu. Rabbi Yehuda says, I know that the kupitz is really bad. It's like this pick, I think, if I remember correctly. It's like an ice pick that you know, instead of a sword, you'd, I don't know. I think if I remember correctly. But the Chachamim wanted you to use a sword, like the non-Jews do. It's very clean, it's very nice. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I know that my version of it is not very nice, but how can you do that? After all, it says, how can you do what the non-Jews are doing? And the Chachamim answered, said, what do you mean, how can we do it? We came up with it first. That was our thing, and then they took it from us. We're just using them to know what we always did. What? It says, and the Gemara continues and cites our point and says, because if you don't say that, then when it says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the reason why we are allowed to burn the stuff of the kings is not because it's not Avodah Zarah, but rather because we did it first. That's what the Chachamim say in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So Achinami. So Tosa says, Imkein, my parich. So then what's our Gemara talking about? Our Gemara doesn't seem to think that. So again, Sanhedrin goes according to the logic that we said before.
Who cares if the Sirfa itself is
what?
He's Avodah Zarah.
The way that when they do it.
When they do it, because we started first.
We started first, so why should we not be allowed to do that? That's the conclusion that the Gemara comes to in Sanhedrin. But it doesn't seem the conclusion that our Gemara comes to, because Chukai is a good question in our Gemara. It doesn't immediately answer and say, no, don't worry about it, we did it first. So Tosa says, Vimkein my parich, umi ohalo kashi. He says, don't worry about it. Answer is, our Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yehuda, who apparently disagreed with the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda does believe in cultural appropriation. Once they took it, it's gone. Can't do it anymore. Because Rabbi Yehuda... What?
It's a very powerful weapon to give it away.
100%. You'll see exactly how powerful it is. You'll see how powerful it is.
Yeah.
Let's see. Actually... I mean,
we're going to stop wearing tefillin?
Okay, I assume not. But let's see how far it goes. It says, Achen kasha d'hacha maskinu l'chuliyah masreif alav chukihi. Says, the truth is, at the end of our Gemara, the conclusion is that it's not Avodah Zarah anyways. V'aza mashma d'chukihi. But over there, it does sound like it is. L'chuliyah ma. V'hava asira ilav taim d'keva d'ksiva. Fine. L'kach pirish ri. So the ri says, the trei gavnei chukahavu. You with me still?
Mm-hmm.
The ri, Rabbi Yitzchak says, there's two kinds of chukah. Up until now, chukah just meant Avodah Zarah. But it really is just a placeholder for ubechukosei and lo teilechu. Okay, so we have to understand what that pasuk means. Echad shosim Hashem chok la'avodas kachavim. That's when they do it for the sake of avodas kachavim. Ve'echad shosim l'shem das hevel v'shtus shalahem. Sometimes it's when they do it for their narishkeit. They have some narishkeit that they like to do. That you're also not allowed to do. If they're doing it for narishkeit reasons, they start doing things and it takes on, it's a fad, and they just start doing it. We're not allowed to do that.
Sounds like Thanksgiving. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it's related to Thanksgiving. And he says, and really, our Gemara is talking about the second kind of chok. The first kind of chok. I read Oso the wrong way. You know how bad it is?
They really messed it up.
They really messed this up. Because if you look in Sefer Bereshit, the Avos, Yaakov especially, are making matzevos left and right.
Yeah.
What's a matzeva, by the way, versus a mizbeach? What's the difference? What's the difference between mizbeach and a matzeva? A mizbeach is multiple stones. A mitzvah is one single stone. Mitzvah is you find a nice, you know, monolith, a nice stone that you just you can put it on the ground and you can pour shemen on it. That's a matzeva in the Torah. Mizbeach is when you make it out of many, many different stones. And Hirsch actually says that that's important. He says, he in his commentary, he says, that's why it was okay for the Avos to do a matzeva, because there was only one of them, each one of them. But we don't believe in that anymore. We have Bnei Yisrael. We have to put everybody together. There's no such thing as just one person anymore. But this Tosos is saying that the reason why matzeva became asur in Sefer Dvarim is because it was appropriated by the Goyim. Upshot is this. According to the Ri, Ubuchusayim lo teilecho means two things. It means that if the non-Jews start doing something for Avodah Zarah, we aren't allowed to do it under any circumstances, even if
we did it first.
We started it.
So where's the line? You made a covenant.
That's the line. I don't know. You mean at what point do they get control over it? I don't know. I hear you. I don't know. I assume not.
God will be on the
I assume not. I assume not. I don't know.
Keeping Shabbos. Yeah.
Yeah. I assume there is a line. I don't know where it is. Over here, it's relatively easy to see the line. This is a matter of how we decide to worship God in a Korbanos fashion. So, well, actually, it's not really.
It was easier then.
You're right. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is only for... I don't know. I don't know where the line is.
It was
is.
Easier.
I didn't see it on
the telly. Sorry. Yishmaelim. Well, they're not over there, but Azara. But yeah, it could potentially be the second kind. You're right, but that's...
Because that's the way they put it on.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it means that like they made it up. Yishmaelim, you know, doesn't mean Arabs. It means the nation. You're right. It's a good point. So that's the first one. And the second one is, this is the more severe one really, is that if they do something for no good reason, it's Asar Midaraisa to do it.
Even if they don't do it for Avodah Zarah?
Even if they don't do it for Avodah Zarah and have nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. Hevel v'shtus, we're not allowed to do it. That's this Tosos, famous Tosos.
Wait,
okay?
That's if they did it first.
No.
Well, if it's Hevel and Shtus, then we assume they did it first. We don't do Hevel and Shtus alone.
Well, maybe for us it's not.
Doesn't matter. Anytime it's Hevel and Shtus and they do it, then...
For us,
then
wearing the king's thing might have a value, and for them, it's Hevel and
Shtus. You're right. Ah, good. So how is Tosos, by the way, going to come out over here? He's going to say, our Gemara, which doesn't care about the fact that it's written in our Navi that we did it, is assuming that the whole conversation of yours is about Avodah Zarah, and that's why it doesn't care. The Gemara in Sanhedrin must have been talking about it from the perspective of the other Ubuchugosev Lotelechu, that it was because of Hevel and Shtus. So once it concluded that we did it, so then it became something that we did. So the fact that they started doing it doesn't stop us from being allowed to do it. That's this Tosos, okay?
So now, that's according to Rabbanon, this is according to Rabbi Yehuda.
That was the first answer of Tosos. This is the second answer of Tosos, the one that's become more popular. The second answer, the Ri's answer, is to reconcile them. Okay, you're right. The first answer is to say them as machlokas. Take a look at the sheets now, the source sheets. So Tosas at the top, this is Tosas in Sanhedrin. What time is it? Okay, plenty of time. Tema, the mashmach, adaf agav dechuki, he came in the ksid barais ashari. Same point. Tosas makes it in Sanhedrin. He says, it sounds like from over here that that because it's written in the Torah, it's mutter. Right? That's what Tosas says. But the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, I'm just pointing out that Tosos is consistent. He asks the same question. He says, how come in Avodah Zarah it doesn't care about the fact that it's written in the Torah, and in Sanhedrin it does care? So Tosos gives the same answer. He says, because over there, this is the Ri's answer, because over here in Avodah Zarah, it's in the context of Avodah Zarah. So it doesn't matter whether it was written in the Torah or not. We're not allowed to do it once they appropriate it. And by the way, Tosas is making a great point. In context, it makes perfect sense. What was the conversation about over there in the Gemara Sanhedrin? What was it comparing burning the effects of the king to? To the death penalty. When the non-Jews cut people's heads off with swords, does that have anything to do with Avodah Zarah? No. It's a convention. It's the way that they do it. So to compare it now to the way that they burn the effects of the king, it makes sense that that's not. It's obviously not in the context of Avodah Zarah. Whereas in our Gemara, the first assumption that it was, and then it was going to be a problem, even if it was written in the Torah. Very clean, I think. It's a very clean break for Tosis. It's classic Tosis. You know, he makes a conceptual distinction between the two Gemaras.
Thinking about throwing rocks. That's Avodah Zarah.
At the Markolis? At the Markolis?
Yeah.
Yeah, so?
So you can't throw rocks.
At idols.
What was in rocks at Markolis?
Okay. Now comes the Ran, though. The Ran is going to switch it up a little bit. This is the Chidush Ran in Avodah Zarah on the Dapei Arif. He says, "Sorfin al Malachim lo midarkei Amori, eina midarkei Amori lachush lalota asek maaseihem." We're not worried about Darkei Amori, like what Rashi says, that we're not supposed to follow in the ways of the Darkei Amori. The Torah only forbids things that are avodas kachavim. Elu dvarim shel hevel ubatala. But these are just things of hevel ubatala. V'kulan yesh behem tzorech avodas kachavim. Anytime you see the non-Jews doing things that are for silly reasons, what can you assume? It's avodas zarah. The Ran kind of integrates the whole thing. He says, when the non-Jews do something and it doesn't make sense why they're doing it, you can be sure that what's really behind it, whether they know it or they don't, is Avodah Zarah. Aval Devarim Shaltam Sharu. But of course, if you see the non-Jews doing things and it makes sense why they're doing it, then it's perfectly mutter. If it's a good idea, it's a good idea. Ubisreif al hamalachim, taima ikal yisrof tachvodan klei tashmishan. Once we establish that it's a good idea, then we can do it even if the non-Jews are doing it. The whole thing is really only about Avodah Zarah. If we establish that they're doing it for Avodah Zarah, then it's Aser. But if it's not for Avodah Zarah, then it's Mutter.
If we were doing it first.
But then if they took it for Avodah Zarah,
it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think it makes sense, right? How to cut someone's head off.
No, but he's saying if you have if you had and use it as Avodah Zarah, then
we're not for Avodah Zarah.
For sure.
Well, that's how so good. So the Stipler, this is the Kilos Yaakov over here, the next source. This is the Stipler Gaon. So he analyzed this Gemara. And he first explains Tosas, then he explains the Ran. So we kind of said this already, but let's look at it inside. Anytime the non-Jews do things, and it's a chok kavua, meaning they just do it indiscriminately all the time. Even if they're not doing it for Avodah Zarah, and you know they're not doing it for Avodah Zarah. Fact. Little kid came up with some kind of funny thing to do, dance, I don't know, whatever. Okay, and then they all start doing it. It's not Avodah Zarah. You know it's not. Doesn't matter. Tosu says, banned. Ubechukos eim lo teilecho. Lo telfu afil eina mosim zel Hashem Avodah Zarah, ela me'eza tam acher, kemed al kopanim im ha'yisrael yasekin. By the way, why does Tosu say this? It's interesting that he says he thinks he knows the reason. Yehei nira ki'ilu rotzen lidavos lasos kamosa. Why? Because when you do it, what are you basically saying? That we want to be like them. Don't try to be like them. Don't try to be like them. Don't try to be like
them. A ball and a long stick and try to hit them around a park. Then you shouldn't do it? That's what the staff is saying?
He's saying that's what Tosis is saying, unless he can come up with a good reason. Unless he can come up with a good reason. Unless he can come up with a good reason for it, yeah. Let's skip the bracket.
It's a
table. That's only things that the non-Jews do, which is chuka. This should be distinguished from Darkei Amori, which is different, because Darkei Amori are things that the non-Jews don't say that you have to do, and this is what he says in the rest of it, but the things that you should do. In other words, things that the non-Jews believe have positive skula type effects, right? So non-Jews like to kiss a rabbit's foot before doing something, right? So it's not something they have to do. It's like not something they
hold the
kiss
rabbit's
a rabbit's foot.
You have a rabbit's foot.
You have a rabbit's foot. You keep it on your neck. You kiss it for good luck.
It's
whatever.
A keychain.
So that's an example of something that would be more like Darkei Amori than it would be Ubechukos Amle Talecho. The non-Jews don't all do it, and they don't believe that you have to do it. It's not like the kind of thing that they do. But some of them do it throwing, because they believe that there is some kind of skula. So that would not be prohibited from ubuchukus emotelechu, but it might be prohibited as darkei amori.
Why would you then catch it on Shabbat?
No, like, well, what about, it's like also throwing shoulder, salt over your shoulder. I still see people doing that.
Superstition is more along the lines of darkei amori than it is ubuchukus emotelechu. But look at the second column. Nir d'tzarech lomer shaharan zal sover. What does the Ran think? The sugyas chalukos hen. The Ran agrees with Tosis's first position. He thinks that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah disagrees with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Okay, so the Ran thinks that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah disagrees with the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Hakan Avodah Zarah Mabur Dahan the Sorfin al Malachim Vein Mishum Darkei Amori Hu Mishum the Sreif Alav Chukahi Eloch Hashivusa Baloni Is Kar Klal Mishum the Ksiva Baraisa. It doesn't mention the fact that it's written in the Torah because that's Rabbi Yehuda. Ukvar Hikshua Tosus the Habitan. He asks Tosus a question. That's Tosas' answer. Aval Aran's also over the sugyas chalukos, and he thinks Tosas' first answer is right, namely, Mefarish Hadamrin and Kan Dekuliyama Lav Chukahi Ela Chashivusa Kedepirish Hagura Ladeazu. Okay, we're going to skip past this. Basically, the Ran agrees with the first position of Tosas that you can split the two Gemaras, and we hold like the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that if it is Avodah Zarah, then it's a problem. Then it's a problem. But if we did it, he holds like which one? Kevin, the Lord Mishum Hashem is Avodah Zarah. Who Ana Mitam Chashivusa Vod Hashem Alachah In Mishum Zarah Kiyamori. Fisa Divrei Aran Mevorim Kan BeGemara Suga De Sanhedrin BeEmes Paligalzav Sorvei Dekol Ahetar Shal Sorfin Alam Alachim VeMishum Deksiva So I think what he's saying is that the Ran holds like the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that if it's written in the Torah, then we don't have to worry about them appropriating it. Okay, which is very different from Tosos. So the Ran thinks that the whole problem is only over the Zara, and it's only a problem when we haven't done it first. Now, where does this all come to a head? So take a look at the next source, this famous Shut Maharik. Okay? Shut Maharik says as follows.
Says,
I cannot remember. I think it's like 14th century around. And he's talking about Adar HaKafa, which is a word for a white coat. Okay, it's a white coat. Shukha Safta, Vi Aruka Adla Aretz. Holechas Pnim Vachor. It's a long white coat that goes in the front and in the back. V'achor patuach min atzadim, and it's open on the sides. V'amnam mitukenet tikun agun liyot p'tura mitzitzit. So first question he's worried about is whether or not you have to put this on it, but that's not really what he's interested in. He says, are you allowed to wear it because of the problem of ubuchukosei motilecho? What's the story with this white coat? This white coat is a lab coat that wise men or doctors used to wear. Mm. Non-Jewish wise men and doctors. So may you wear such a thing when it was basically, it's a trend started by the non-Jews. Mm. So I just got my doctor's degree. Am I allowed to wear a white coat? So he says, Lanius Daiti. What?
A graduation
guard. Right, 100%. Lanius Daiti. Good, we'll get to the suit. Lanius Daiti Nira the Davar Pasha de Lola Sarvishim Chokala Be'echad Mishnech Alakim. So the Marik says, what are the rules? The rules are as follows. It's only B'chukos Im Lotilechu if it fulfills one of the following two conditions. First of all, it has to be not obvious what the reason for it is. If you do something that doesn't make any sense, and the only reason you're doing it is because the non-Jews are doing it, then you're going to go after them. You're going to start assimilating. Because if that's not what's going on, then why are you doing it? So if there's no reason for it, then that's a b'chukos im lo telecho. V'inyan sheni yesh la'asar mishum chukos goyim hu adav asher shayach bo nidnud pritzat geder hatzniut v'ha'anava inagu bogim. If it violates some rule of the Torah, here he talks about tzniut, but he could just as well be talking about a Avodah Zarah as well. Gamza asor k'debraisa the sifri diktani shloto marhoel v'yotzim bargaman afaniyotzim bargaman. Just like they go out in red, bright red colors, surely maroon, but apparently that was a pritzos, derech pritzos, sure. So I'm going to do it too.
You'd be like wearing the uniform of your football club.
No, that's not pritzos.
That's the way that everybody knows what football is.
But of course, even this is also when it's when you're doing it just to be like them, but not when you're doing it for a good reason. Basically, its conclusion is going to be ein isur b'davar pshita. There's no isur de lo dami lo osan hashmiyim b'tosefta shali tam levishata yadua. Everybody knows why you're wearing the coat. B'siman heyotam imersigim b'chokma. It shows that you have a PhD. Ve'ein litlod levishata kiim l'tom elatanim shach mimenu hein machmat kavod hein machmat revach mamon. It could be because you're supposed to get kavod. It could be supposed to get money from it. Either way, there's a reason for it.
A lot of times people wore these uniforms, if you will. Because, like, look, if he's a doctor or whatever, there were doctors and wise men in that period of time, and they answered to the same people, even though, let's say, they're Jews and they lived off themselves, but within their whole, you know, country, wherever they lived, they answered to the same, you know, government, and they were expected to wear these things.
But the government had a reason for having them wear these things.
Yeah, yeah.
Which was to be able to easily identify them, to make sure they have money.
Go back 100 years, you're going to have a problem based on this.
Why?
Because the Jews are going to land in the USA and throw off their garb, not because they want to look like wise men, because they want to look like the Goyim.
Okay, good. So that takes us to Rav Moshe. So before we get to Rav Moshe, though, let's just go in order.
Why are they wearing the garb in the first place, which was to look like the Poles?
So very good. So hold on, let's go chronologically. Okay, let's go chronologically. We'll get to the 20th century. Let's go chronologically. So first we'll go after the Marik, the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, Rav Yosef Karo writes as follows: Ein hochin b'chukas al de kochavim v'lo medamin lehem v'lo yilvash malbush hamiyucha lehem. And you shouldn't wear clothing which is unique to them. V'lo yigdal tzitzit rosho kama tzitzit rosham. They shouldn't have their haircuts either. The Rama comments: Ela yehem uvdal mehem b'mabushav u'bishar masav. You should be different from them. B'kol zeino aser ela b'davar shenagavu av de kochavim l'shem pritus. But what are we talking about? We're talking about when the clothing that they're wearing is for the sake of some kind of problematic value. Kigon shenagu lilbosh malbushim adumim. For example, in a context where wearing white red clothing is parutz. Okay?
Well, because it stands out.
No? Fine. Malbush sarim. Apparently that was a form of pritzut. Oh, b'davar shenagu l'minagu l'chok v'ein tam b'davar dik l'meichash b'mishum darkei amori. Or because you're worried that the real reason why they're wearing that is because it somehow references some kind of superstition or avodah zarah, right? V'yesh bo shevetz avodah zakhav v'avaseyim. Maybe it's some form of avodah zarah, even if you can't detect it. Aval davar shenagu l'toeles, kegon shedarka shekol mishu rofe mumche yesh lo mabush miyuchad shenikar bo shu rofe uman. But if you're talking about clothing that a person wears so that you can identify them as a doctor, etc., that's of course mutter. And even if it's for kavod or anything else, mutter maharik. Right? So he quotes the maharik. If you have a good reason, you have a good reason. The Ran. Okay? So the Rama follows the Ran. So he quotes the Ran over here, and the Gra jumps in. The Vilna Gaon jumps in famously and says, "Vayin Tosos, uba ovaris kachavim sham." Most of this is Rashi Tevos, but we'll get there. But he says, "Toref divrehem." Basically, the summary of Tosos is the shnei chukim hein echad l'shem ovaris kachavim v'zeh aser af b'deksiva baraisa v'echad b'dvarim shel hevel v'shtus v'zeh muter dafka b'deksiva baraisa. The Gra is the most machmir. He says, if something is done for avodah zarah purposes, it's asur, even if it was written in the Torah, following that Tosos. And if something is done by non-Jews, and it doesn't seem to be any good reason, it's only mutter if it's not written in the Torah. Well, the Vidvarav, I cannot figure out what that next one is.
Sorry, if it is written in the Torah.
Yes, sorry. Zemutur dafka b'ktiv b'raisa. You're right, that's most machmir. It says it's only mutter if it's written in the Torah. Vidvarav, I cannot figure out this one. He reinterprets the Gemara over there, and he only says, the conclusion you come from Avodah Zarah is that the only reason we're allowed to burn the stuff from the Malachim and the Nesiim is because we did it already. It's because it's written in Nach. But if it wasn't, we wouldn't be allowed to do it. Now, this led to the Vilna Gaon's, the most famous result of this sheet of the Vilna Gaon is, anybody know? What do we do on Shavuos in Shul?
Trade.
We decorate with trees, right? We decorate with trees and flowers and everything. And Rav was adamantly against it.
Why was he against it?
Because he says it's a chukosakum. Because the non-Jews do that.
But we would do it for a Christmas wreath.
First of all, it doesn't matter whether we did it first. It doesn't matter if
it's
for a specific
purpose.
They do it, but they do it in their churches. So it's for a Avodah Zarah. It doesn't matter. It's a Avodah Zarah.
It's sitting rows in pews. It's not a
minhag.
He's right.
That's a breed.
Right.
No, it's not a minhag. That's not a minhag. That's not a thing that they, you know, that's a form of worship. This is a form of worship.
But a lot of European shul, Beit Knesiot, do have... No.
A lot of people objected to that.
That's not
I started building shuls looking like church.
Right. And I'm talking about Orthodox ones. I'm not talking about...
It could be that it's a book in here.
The one
in Warsaw.
The one in Florence, first of all, the people that designed them were Christians. They weren't Jews.
So that's what the Gra says. It doesn't seem that that's the minhag in most places. We still do it. But it's an issue. Two tshuvas by Rav Moshe. I only put one on the sheet. This tshuva by Rav Moshe deals with the suits. All right? 20th century clothing. Look at this Rav Moshe. Right? He's in New York already.
Yeah.
Was he in New York? I think he was, yeah. Shein chiluk bein Yisraelim l'nochrim. You can't tell the difference between Jews and non-Jews. Im l'chuyavim b'nei Polin. What happens when the Europeans come over? Shebao l'po v'gam ha'noladim mehem b'po l'levosh otanam al-boshim she'yunogin b'polin. Do they have to continue to wear the clothing that they wore in Poland, or can they assimilate?
When was the last time you were in Williamsburg?
Good, so Ramosh is asking, why don't we all do that? So he says, "Mitzada yisur de malvushe nachrim ba'avsha av kfarshina b'vo'ol lepo." And even if your father already changed, hayazem isur shenishar yisur kediyisa b'chasam sofer va'olam kimat kulam nogin heter. You look around; everybody's being nogin heter. Av yir Hashem im yesh mamek v'heteram. So Moshe says, "Is there anything to this? Can you be matir this?" Hinei shitas ma'arik, quotes the ma'arik. Fine. Va'ol chidesh ma'arik kula sha'af be'elu shehu b'lo ta'am b'tzarech ela lechok hevel b'shtutz einam asirim elak shuose kedei ledamos alem. He says, even the Marik believes that even if the non-Jews are doing it for stupid reasons, but you are not doing it in order to be like them. In other words, if you can really come up with that, you know that you're not doing it just to be like them, then also that's going to be okay. So if it's because of kavod, all you want is kavod, that's what you want. You're wearing a suit, not so you can be like the non-Jews, but because this is the only way to get kavod. It's not because I want to be like them, it's because I want to be respected.
But if he's already quoting the Marik, why doesn't he say it's the same as wearing a white coat if you're a doctor? So I'm a businessman wear suits. That's the...
He could. But that's essentially what he's saying. He says, "Harei lecha de kol shehu mishum to'elas v'kavod mutar." Avagav sheher gilu bo amoriyah mishum chukah. It's basically the same thing.
So in other words, just like stop wearing a suit, like even today or even like 25, 30 years ago, if you stop wearing a suit, it's perfectly fine for the kavod. But you can also bring in an argument. You brought up the Jews who lived in Poland and stuff. The Hasidim wear clothes to this very day that are the clothes that were worn by Polish nobility. And also many
100%.
Hasidim look like Cossacks with the fur hats.
100%. By the way,
so
he takes it one step further
there.
Because they were trying to be like noblemen. You said it yourself.
In the year 1654, not in the year 2017.
That's what they did.
Doesn't affect that they're trying to dress like people 400 years ago and qualify as shtus?
What?
Isn't that the definition of shtus, that they're dressing like people 400 years ago? For no good reason?
Thank you.
Yeah, but they're not doing it to be like any non-Jews, that's for sure.
But
it's not shtus. It's not shtus, though. They dress like that because that's how they dress. That's not shtus.
They want it as a uniform.
They dress like that because that's how they dress.
Especially
if they were to change,
then you can set
themselves
apart.
Then you can say about anything. It has the perfect effect. Yeah. It has the intended effect to set themselves apart.
No, the intended effect to set themselves apart from God. Yeah, they're setting themselves apart from Jews.
Okay.
They wear the same thing in chutzlars.
No, you're doing that.
What about here?
All right. You're doing that, though.
What?
Meaning you're setting yourself apart from them.
You're not wearing what they wear.
Thank God.
It goes around and around.
It's okay.
It goes around and around.
I'm afraid I will.
But no, but you know what? No, but this is my favorite part of the Moshe, okay? Don't miss the favorite part. It says, Imkein, Pasha Shane Shumashem, it's Isser, Vistam Begadim Shalov Shem Dinus. No problem with wearing these clothes. Avshagam Anochim Lovshim. Okay, next paragraph. Vegan. Vegan Beloze. He says, you know what? Forget all this. Ein Sheikh Isser Mabushin Nochim, Daha, Kimat Kobne Shalovshin Mabushin Elu. Look, everybody's wearing it. Vimkein, Miomer Shehim Mabushin Nochim. Who said that they're non-Jewish clothing? By Yisraelim lovshin bekan mabushayhem. Umadua lo nomar shemitchila hem gam mabushay Yisrael. Maybe they're actually Jewish clothing. Delonik vaklal miyad chalal anochem. Maybe we didn't get it from them. Maybe they got it from us. V'achar kach gam leYisraelim demitchila hanasu gam leYisraelim. They're dressing like Jews. What's the reason to say this? Who's Tommy Hilfiger really?
Yeah.
Is it Jew?
Okay, fine. So is Ralph Lauren.
They're all Jews.
Ralph Lauren also went to yeshiva.
They're all Jews.
But hang on a second. What about the run? We did it first. Just because we did it first, now that they're doing it, doesn't mean we can still do it.
Yeah, stop doing it.
No, if it's not for Avodah Zarah, then it's okay.
They're not doing it for Avodah Zarah.
The Polish nobility didn't either.
So he says, even according to the Gra, it should be okay. Because it's not Miuchad the Nachem, it's Miuchad the Jews.
One second. We believe Catholicism is Avodah Zarah, right?
Yes.
All right.
Pope wears a kippah. We did it first, but now he's doing it for Avodah Zarah. Doesn't mean we have to take off our kippah.
That's funny. It's funny you go that way because Rav Moshe goes the opposite way. There's another tshuva Rav Moshe where he was asked about taking off your kippah to get a job. And there was two issues there. One is the obvious issue. Can you take off your kippah in general? Are you allowed to take off your kippah? Because he goes through the issue and it is only a minhag. It's now a very strong minhag, but it is ultimately only a minhag. It's not a mitzvah. The Taz, though, says it's ubichukusem lo teilechu. What are you doing? You're going to walk around bareheaded like the non-Jews? The non-Jews walk around bareheaded. We don't walk around bareheaded. So Moshe says, well, why are the non-Jews walking around bareheaded? Because it's comfortable. Because it feels nice. Not because it represents anything. That's why they're walking around bareheaded. So he says, if that's the only way to get a job, it's the only way to get a job.
I think our baseball caps can be in the threat now.
I guess you could also say purple kippah of that nature would be yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Red,
yeah.
Like to look like the red one, like the
paint. But I think it's a classic.
You haven't seen my cousin.
Pretty. I mean, that is. Is that not exactly what we were talking about? We did it first, but now they do it.
First of all, that would only be a problem according to Tosos and the Gra, right? The Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah don't seem to follow that way. But also, you do have to make a distinction somewhere. Meaning, if we've been wearing kippot the whole time, I don't know what the status was with the kings and the
Rambam.
I don't know.
Wear a black couple.
No, he wore a turban.
Say it's all a turban. They still believe it.
Also, it's only the Pope. It's not like they're all.
No, cardinals and bishops.
It's also not all the people. It's not all of them.
No, it's just part of their.
They all started doing it. Who knows?
It's only the clergy. It's only the clergy.
You know, maybe if they all started.
Look, nuns wear kesoi rosh, you know?
They go for mass, they all put on kippot.
No, the cardinals and Pope. My Catholic halakha is not what it used to be.
It's not even called a kippah, they call it something else. But then nobody knows what it is,
they
don't call it a kippah.
It's called a Jew hat. It's got a funny, the Cantor's hat, what's it called? It's got a good name.
Anyways,
just looking for my
that's the sugya, we'll end early tonight. Sure.